Get ready to turn it up. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously. Hosted by The Boys Are Fighting Over Him. He's not tired of rumours starting. In fact, he'd like it if you started them. David Lim and me, the Nicole Richie of this operation, the boy that still says that's hot in his daily vocabulary, Joel Babington. Hello, David. How are you doing?
I'm good, JB. I'm so excited for us to be doing this. This is truly long awaited, isn't it?
I know we always say it, but this one has been pushed and pulled around and round, but boy, does it feel like right now is the time to do this episode.
Yeah, and you know what? I just have a feeling within my bones that this is going to be one of those pre-drinking, pre-party episodes for a lot of people, hopefully, much in the vein of when we did our Saturdays episode or the Sweet Seven episode. Like, I feel like it's got that energy about it.
Oh, it's got a vibe. It is a pop cultural moment. And, you know, I don't even want to say even more than that, I don't think, because should we jump straight into a five-star review?
Absolutely. Look, we are so excited to get going with this episode. And we've even thrown out some questions on our socials, which we will get to shortly. But as always, we massively, massively appreciate when you guys leave us a lovely five-star review on whatever platforms you can, and also subscribing, because that really helps with our visibility and to, you know, show folks that we got some listeners up in here, which is fantastic. So, Joel, I'm going to read you a review here left by John Double M Double Eight.
John Mandy Moore.
88. I'm sure that is John, but if it's not, well, congratulations. The title of this review says, "Come for the music, stay for the fun, hun. This podcast is everything. I've never really been a podcast listener, but I stumbled upon these boys and I am hooked. I love hearing them dissect my favorites like Girls Aloud, Bardo and The Saturdays, and also reintroducing me to artists like Sophie Ellis-Bextor and S Club 7, where I only really knew the hits. As a fellow Melbourne boy, I only wish that David and I crossed paths in our teenage years. We would have been a pop-loving force to be reckoned with. How could I not love a podcast that spotlights unappreciated Australian queens like Nikki Webster, Joanne and Young Divas? My ultimate dream would be to guest host the future Girls Aloud episodes, but I'll settle for a guest appearance by Joel's flawless imitation of Kimberly Walsh. This podcast is a love letter to the pop music that shaped my teenage years, hosted by hilarious and informed hosts who bring an unbridled joy to every episode. Keep up the amazing work, Joel and David." Thank you, John.
Well, thank you very much, John Mansymore, 88. Hope to see you at Brasserie Zadel's very soon. Now, John, that is such a wonderful review. Thank you so, so much. I'm personally glad that you and David didn't cross paths, because it could have set up a whole alternate universe and I might be out of a podcasting job.
Yeah, it could have been a Down Under Right Back At Ya.
Down
special.
Under only. Down Under only. But no, you need the Essex boy to represent. But thank you so much, John. As David's already said, you can leave us a five-star review on Apple. Hit that subscribe button and follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Right, David, who are we covering today?
Listen, we are celebrating two pop culture icons of the noughties, Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. I mean, they were just huge, huge entertainment figures, weren't they, JB, in the early 2000s?
There was no escaping the power of these two ladies. They were in every magazine. Imagine if we'd properly had social media at this time. You know, every post would just be filled with them. But we are going back to a MySpace generation today. We're hitting Ledoux. We are hitting the LA nightclub scene that we talk about, the time travel, what we would do a lot. I would hop in that time travel machine and get to the LA nightlife and party with these girls. And I would be taking David Lim with me, and I would be taking you with me as well, listener at home. And I cannot wait to jump right back into this era that mentally I've never left, but it's nice to visit it with other people, not just myself.
It was the early days of the blogosphere as well. So I think, you know, media was shifting, celebrity culture was shifting, and here we are at the epicenter of it. We have a fabulous hotel heiress turned pop culture icon. And, you know, one of the biggest celebrities of the new century here, who really made a very solid pop album. And then on the other side, we've got a Disney child actor turned teen queen of the silver screen. Again, delivering knockout pop rock albums. But today we are going all the way back to their debut eras. So we are covering Paris by Paris Hilton, which came out in 2006, and Speak, the debut album by Lindsay Lohan, which came out in 2004.
But before we get into that, and I know we're all itching to, let's set the scene with Right Back at Us. We yes. ask you a question on our socials, and it is your chance to write back at us, and we get into it. We launched it a few episodes ago. We took a break, and it is back, baby. We asked on our social platforms, what's your favourite song to hear on a night out? So we are going to pick out a few of our favourite answers.
There's been so many, hasn't there, JB? I mean, people basically made us several party playlists with these suggestions.
I actually think we should do a night out playlist, like fan-demanded Spotify playlist.
Yeah, lots of Paris, lots of Lindsay, lots of Sugar Babes.
And all these banging tracks.
JB, do you want to go first or do you want me to go first from Twitter? We're picking a platform each, guys, which, you know, we're sifting through all the replies. And thank you so much for always participating with us and always joining in on the pop fun with us on socials.
We won't be able to get to them all, which is why I think we should do a playlist. But we have had some grade A answers. Not once, David, but twice on two different people. Super Sister, Coffee. These are my kind of people. He wasn't expecting that at all.
No, okay.
And then we have one that is right up our street, David. It is our lovely follower. Emmy has said, Get Sexy by the Sugar Babes. She knows that's a bit of us and it is a bit of her as well.
That is a, yeah, come on. The minute you hear the synth, I mean, yeah. I'm running to the dance floor. If there's not a dance floor, I'm running somewhere to start dancing.
Absolutely. And I feel awful to just do one more because there's so much good stuff here. But we are going... Oh, Super Sister was in there three times. The people know and
people
love
know
it.
Your taste, JB.
But there's so many here I could say, but I'm going to finish with Jason has said AM to PM. We need it.
Yes, literally all the time from AM to PM. Excellent suggestion. We love a bit of Christina Milian. Over on Twitter, Live Laugh Levine has quote retweeted saying All Night Long by Alexandra Burke. Excellent choice.
Excellent choice, Live Laugh Levine.
Mr. Danny Lucas said Something Kind of Ooh by Girls Aloud and Higher by The Saturdays.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm going to read out one more. This is by Dan Kerr. Wet by Nicole Scherzinger. Right?
Oh, bloody hell.
It's a mood.
I mean, look, thanks to you guys, whenever we get the first Right Back at Your Club night done, you've done the set list for us. We got Mariah's in our suggestions, J-Lo, Kelly Rowland work. They're all in there and they all slap, Davo.
Also like Madonna Hung Up, you know, got to respect your legends.
Got to respect it. All About Tonight, Pixie Lott's in there, friend of the pod. David, you are the playlist king. Next time you need a bit of inspiration, dip into these suggestions.
I feel like I'm ready to go out now, you know, pour myself a drink, get sexy.
And on that note, darling, cheers to you. And let's go with our first act of this double headlining episode. David Lim, please tell us a bit about Paris Whitney Hilton.
Is Whitney really her middle name?
Really is.
It was destined.
Destined.
So Paris Hilton, entrepreneur, media personality, reality TV pioneer, model, DJ, actress, singer, and all-round icon. Now, I just want to take it back a little bit to sort of set the scene into sort of getting into where we are with Paris's debut album. Because, you know, the music wasn't like the very first thing we got to know of Paris. It was a slow build. And by the time we came to her announcing that she wants to make music, the world already knew who Paris Hilton is, or so they thought. Paris's first real big PR moment was when David LaChapelle photographed her and her sister Nikki for the September 2000 issue of Vanity Fair, where they were touted as New York's leading it girl. But it wasn't until 2003, when the infamous sex tape scandal leaked to the press, that Paris became absolute tabloid fodder. And that same year, she directed that media attention towards her reality TV series, The Simple Life. And that was the beginning of a massive pop culture moment as well.
David, now that really did change the scene for reality TV forever, for better or for worse. Now, I think The Simple Life is one of the best television shows of all time. I absolutely love it. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of what it set the template for going forward, but it changed the game completely. And it is classic television that I still love to enjoy till this day.
I mean, in its 5-year run, it drew over 13 million viewers. And, you know, it was just, I think at the time people thought, oh, that's what Paris is really like. It was the early days of reality TV where we kind of thought, oh, you know, reality equals real life. But as we all now know, we're more savvy media consumers. Reality TV is a production.
Oh, when you watch it back, it's so clear now, kind of the botched production and so much of it. But it was the early days. We were spoon-fed it and we believed it.
And we were lapping it up. So on this juggernaut of success and relentless media coverage, Paris released a book, and then she was cast in House of Wax, her first major film role. And then very soon after, she turned her attention to the world of pop, like any self-respecting celebrity would, and I 100% would. At the height of your fame, you release a pop album.
You have to. You absolutely have to. Now, I will say I did receive Paris Hilton's book as a gift, and I rushed out to see House of Wax at the cinema. That is the power of Paris's celebrity at the time. We were, and still are, obsessed.
So as early as 2003, Paris had expressed her intentions of making an album. But the journey to get to this 2006 debut has been a really interesting one, JB. Between 2004 and 2006, the press were reporting that Paris was working with JC Chazes of NSYNC and a producer called Romeo Antonio, who had done tracks for Kelly Rowland and Maya. In summer of 2004, Paris announced that she was starting her own label, Eris Records, where she'll be releasing her music. It will eventually be revealed as a sub-label of Warner Records, which in a way is quite genius because she still is her own label. She has total control, but she still has the kind of
big
power.
Big label support.
Exactly, the big label marketing and distribution support there. So very savvy, Paris.
I want to know what happened to JC Chazé along the way, though. He is my favourite member of NSYNC, and he's a fantastic songwriter, producer, vocalist. Like, I'd love to have seen if there was some, like, pop R&B early stuff from him and Paris. I mean, leak it, JC, leak it.
So in the early days, it was teased that the album was going to be called Paris is Burning, which is, again, genius title. One of the earliest stories in Paris' recording career was connected to a song called Screwed, which was written by Cara Diaguardi and Greg Wells, which did end up on her debut album. But back in 2004, JB, there was some serious drama.
I think this is one of the most forgotten pop culture moments, but I think about it daily. I've been thinking about it daily since 2004. It is one of the biggest pieces of news that no one is talking or thinking about. So Paris's original album was going to have a very pop rock vibe following Ashley, Lindsay, Avril, Hillary, Kelly, which one is up to you? Along this time, David, there was also the highly anticipated debut album from Hayley Duff. Hollywood Records latest signing, Hayley Duff, Hilary Duff's sister. The Duff fandom were waiting for it. We were frothing at the mouth for it. Could not wait. Hayley Duff already established herself as a working singer and actress in this industry. She was the support act on Hilary Duff's Most Wanted tour. Hayley was doing her own set list opening act, which included Screwed. Both Hayley and Paris had started touting around saying that Screwed was going to be their debut single.
Yikes.
Now, I don't know who signed off on this, where or when, But then suddenly it was Hayley v. Paris everywhere. And we do not pit women together on this podcast, no. But we are just stating the facts as they were back in this time. It's hard to know factually 100% what way it was, but I believe it was lined up to be Hayley's debut single. And I believe Paris had recorded a demo of it as well and really wanted it. And I think if she found out it wasn't potentially going her way, it somehow got out there in a very 2004 way, David. The song, the original Paris demo of Screwed, leaked on something called the JoJo Kids Show. I mean, we don't even know what that is today. But it got out there, David, a pop rock, low quality demo. But we were absolutely obsessed with it. Hayley's version has never surfaced to this day.
How interesting. And she's been doing it on tour with Hillary. And I find that so fascinating. And yeah, this was the kind of time where, like, yeah, leaking a record is very detrimental to sales and stuff like that. Because, you know, once it's out there, you know, people can download it for free. The idea is that no one will go and buy the final version, which is, of course, nonsense. Like, you want the final version. Fans will go do it. Whereas I feel like these days with release strategies, you know, people will perform songs and, you know, release snippets on TikTok just to kind of build up the buzz and then they release it. But then this was seen like, what's she doing? She's screwing it up.
Well, Hayley, it's not too late. Let's get it on TikTok, the hashtag Justice for Hayley Screwed campaign. Every now and then, probably every few months, I like try and scour the internet for as much as I can to find this Hayley Duff version, but it is not out there.
And I feel like in 2022, we could even get a moment where Paris Hilton invites Hayley onto her YouTube channel and they both talk about Screwed, or, you know, they do a duet together or something. That it would just be a very pop culture moment for the JB, especially.
You know, and both Paris and Hayley have had cooking shows. Paris has had Kim Kardashian on her cooking show. Hayley Duff has had Meghan Markle on her cooking show.
Oh my God.
So they just need to come together.
Collab.
The cooking collab. And then, yeah, let's talk about it all while we're filming. Get the content out there for the gays and the pop fans. So yeah, Justice for Hayley. We ultimately did not get the release of that debut album, which breaks my heart to this day, because I think it would have been absolutely fascinating. No, I think it would have been brilliant. I don't think it would have been fascinating. She would have claimed her place as a rightful pop rock girl, a Hollywood Records demand artist.
Paris did record a new version of Screwed, which ends up on the album, which we'll talk about shortly.
Very different, though. Legally had to be very different, allegedly, as well.
And she was planning to shoot a music video with David LaChapelle. So it seemed like Screwed was going to be quite a focus of this era. But then things started to change. Lots of people were suddenly pitching songs to Paris off the buzz of this leaked demo. Lil Jon sent a track called That's Hot, you know, a play on Paris's famous catchphrase, which she said was too hip hop for her style. Sounded a little bit more Lil Kim than her. She even recorded a cover of Blondie's Heart of Glass with Jane from the Go-Go's guiding her. So it feels like lots of ideas were coming together there. No real clear direction until Paris met with producer Scott Storch, who has worked with Destiny's Child, Christina Aguilera, Lil Kim. That's when the album as we know it started to really take shape in the summer of 2005. And the song he presented first to her, I believe, was Turn It Up, which ends up being the album opener. That completely set the template and mood for the direction of Paris's music, which is a big pop album, but with a hip hop backbone.
That hip hop backbone is so strong throughout the album.
And it's so 2006, wasn't it? I mean, this was a year for pop R&B and really my favourite era of pop R&B. You know, we had Nelly Furtado's Loose out this year, Beyoncé's B-Day, Justin Timberlake's Future Sex Love Sounds. It shaped and dominated the scene.
It did. But I also think, although very of the time, it keeps it sounding fresh when you listen to it today.
I mean, it still goes off for me. Like, just everything is right. All the elements were right here.
If that was the first song her and Scott worked on together, it was going to be the lead single. But along the way, obviously more and more tracks you're working on, your project is becoming a lot clearer. I think that should have been a single, if not the lead single.
It's what you would expect from Paris Hilton, but the choice for the debut single is what really made people go, oh, really? I mean, that was a universal reaction, truly, because everyone wanted to know what she would sound like on a record and what direction she was going to go in. And she really turned it on its head, didn't she?
So let's fast forward to June 2006, shall we, David Lim, with the debut single from Paris Whitney, Stars Are Blind. Even though the gods are crazy, even though the stars are blind, if you show me real love, baby, I'll show you mine. Now, David, do you remember like seeing this for the first time, or what your first memories or what your first recollections were of this song?
I believe the first time I heard it was probably on the radio, because every single DJ on Australian radios wanted to play it just to like get people's reactions, because she was such a big and polarizing celebrity figure that everybody wanted to weigh in. And I remember hearing the song and I was like, this is surprisingly good. I don't know why, but we all went in really skeptical. And I feel like people wanted to knock it, but they kind of couldn't really knock it because it was actually really quite good.
Oh, it was. What we're going to see here on this album is fantastic grade A pop, hip hop, R&B music. Now here, it's kind of a brave choice. And I mean brave as in not brave, like, you know, how brave we're in the world. But in terms of a Paris Hilton debut single, it's quite a brave slash interesting choice. But as we were just saying, she really did have to do something different. And I think this is a very smart way to go about it, to really make people go, oh, okay, and take in the project.
It was written and produced by Fernando Garibay, who would go on to work on the Sugar Babes Sweet 7 album and Lady Gaga's Born This Way, and Shep Solomon, who co-wrote Don't Stop Moving for S Club 7.
Oh my God, we love the caliber.
And there kind of isn't anything like it on the album. Stars Are Blind, with that kind of really breezy, summery reggae pop vibe, was a standalone moment. And I think as well, looking on the charts, there really weren't that many reggae songs. I feel like, okay, maybe Rihanna had some and Gwen Stefani had injected some reggae pop flavors, but I don't think anyone saw Paris coming with this. And also doing something a little more gentle and mid-tempo where you could hear her sing, it really complemented her tone. The whispery, gentle tones, it was a vibe, it was a mood.
It was. Now, I think this song is a classic. It absolutely is a classic. But when it was released, I was a Paris fan and I was ready for this album. But this song and this whole project was way too ahead of its time for
me. Oh, really?
It was too cool. I wanted like poppers in the club. That's hot. Pop princess or pop rock. And this was just... But how it's aged so well, because
it doesn't really reek off 2006 or that kind of era. Like, it could be somewhere from the 80s or the 90s. Like, it's
absolutely
very ambiguous in that sense, which has made it timeless. Yeah.
A summer mellow bop is so timeless.
Like Michiko Latino.
Imagine Paris and Jerry together. That would be a dream.
Take me back to my sweet la vida.
Donde está mi chico Latino?
Which translates to, that's hot.
So, David, she gave us a fantastic music video for this song. Not just one, two versions. She shot this gorgeous beach music video over 2 days in Malibu, directed by Chris Applebaum, who has done music videos for Hillary, Miley, Demi, Selena, Ali and AJ, Vanessa Ann Hudgens, and Willa Ford's seminal I Wanna Be Bad.
And Paris picked Chris to do the music video because they'd worked together on her Carl's Jr. burger commercials, which anyone who lived through the noughties would remember. Very iconic. Like, it was in the press everywhere. People were obsessed with it.
Now I want a burger.
Sorry. We are recording through lunchtime, so yeah. Get a Carl's Jr. Insert promo code here.
Deliveroo, use your code right back.
Can I get the Paris burger?
Yes, it's the keto burger. So yes, it's a fantastic music video. It features Paris on the beach, being a model, having a photo shoot, and then Paris just having a great time with her lover on the beach, who is the same guy as the photographer. It's blurring the lines, but she is in control.
I think it was only years later that I realized that there was a different version. The version on YouTube now is the one with that extra narrative. And Paris said they had to do another version of the video because it was too sexy to just only have her rolling around in the sand with this bloke. So that's why they added the extra narrative in. I thought it was also quite tongue-in-cheek and a bit of a nod to the Scandal, where we get the shots of him filming her on that vintage handheld camcorder. You see, this is why I'm like very savvy PR queen. She knows exactly what people are going to be looking out for and what the headlines are.
Absolutely. So, you know, we've got one all black and white, one that's black and white with pops of colour.
It could easily be very FHM style music video, you know, very glossy. Doing it in black and white gave it more of a glamour, more of
classic
a...
classic Hollywood.
Yeah, more of a classic Hollywood glamour, which I really appreciate.
She's worked with the director she's comfortable with and knows he is fantastic at the job. This is going to be kind of the most comfortable Paris is going to be in a music video. You know how we talk about it a lot in the start of pop stars' journeys and the way of her doing her first music video. I think this is the clever way to do it. She's not going to look out of place. She knows how to model. So, you know, this song, if anything, it gets bigger and bigger in pop culture as time goes on. The song has a very memorable moment in the recent film Promising Young Woman, which I think has re-brought it to the attention of a lot of people or a lot of cinephiles. They're like, oh yeah, people that didn't realise that 20 years on they can love a Paris Hilton bop, now they know. David, your girl Kim Petras has covered it in a both Live From Home Stonewall Gives Back concert and also at actual Paris's wedding. Can you believe?
What an honour. Yeah.
What an honour and what a right choice. And as recently as this year, Paris played this at the Grammys after party where she was DJing and Livy Rodders, aka Olivia Rodrigo, was there loving it. Now that, David Lim, is the way to do it. So, David, this was a huge hit around the world. Number 7 in Australia. Thank you, Arias. 4 in Canada. 5 on the Europe Euro Hot 100. 4 in Ireland. Thank you, Ireland. Number 1 in Scotland. Number 5 here in the UK. 18 on the US Billboard Hot 100.
That is the Billboard That's Hot 100 charts. Thank you.
Sorry, I will get it right. It was number 1 on the US Dance Club Songs, number 1 on the US Dance Single Sales. So, David, August 2006, the world has been curious. They have been waiting for the debut album from Paris Hilton, Paris.
Now, my general impression at the time was, this is what money can buy you. An incredible A-list roster of producers and songwriters were on board the Paris album. We've got Scott Storch, who we mentioned before, Dr. Luke, J.R. Rotem, who did Rihanna's SOS, Cara Diaguardi, Greg Wells, who has worked with Mika and Celine Dion. I mean, in a way, thinking and saying that, oh, this is a record that money can buy you is a little bit of a slight to Paris. Yes, she is a major celebrity. Yes, she's got the profile. But I think for these people, you've got to have a bit of talent for people to want to work with you. They don't have to work with you. Do you know what I mean? They could be spending that time working with other artists and chasing Grammys or whatever, but they chose to get behind this project with Paris. And I feel like everyone involved believed in her.
Absolutely. When you're at that level, you don't just work where the biggest paycheck is. You're getting the biggest paycheck regardless because you're so in demand. Like, you have the power to choose who and what you want to work with. Also, yes, money can buy you, but money can buy you bad things. You can spend a lot of money in the wrong way. No one was phoning in for their paycheck.
I don't think so. And I feel like this is a non-skip album for me. Like, I think every song is very enjoyable. It has its place.
I have this album on vinyl. It is one of my most listened to albums because for me, it gets better and better as time goes on and the more I listen to it. So let's jump in with what I think is the perfect album opener. Turn It Up. Gonna make me scream. Wanna cause a riot. Make a lot of noise. I don't wanna be quiet. When it gets real loud, make it even louder. Better turn me on. We instantly hear a few seconds in Paris going, that's hot. And I think for that reason why, for me, I think it's the perfect single. It's what I would want from Paris Hilton as a pop star, but I think it was a very clever and savvy move to not use it.
The sultry spoken word verses are just like my absolute favorite. Gonna make me scream, wanna cause a riot, make a lot of noise, I don't wanna be quiet. It's like, ugh. I remember the summer this came out, or this went on the internet anyway, there was a leaked Jessica Simpson track called Fired Up, which was also produced by Scott Storch. And I remember thinking, oh my God, how lovely that there's a kind of synergy between these two American blondes having club banger records. Fired Up did end up being re-recorded slightly differently for Jessica's album. I just want to point that out, that they're very good companion pieces.
Two grade A slick club pop songs. So I actually, listening to this album for the episode, it really does feel like this album takes you on a journey of a night out in the club. And this is track one. And it's telling you, here we are, we're at the club and we're ready for it. This was used as the second single of the album, but it's kind of, was it second single? Was it a promo single? There's no music video for it. It was released as a digital download with a bunch of remixes. There is a CD and a vinyl in some territories, but it did hit number one in the US dance club songs chart, which is absolutely fan-bloody-tastic and deserved. Let's move on to track two. We're still in the club, David, but I feel like we've now moved into the hip-hop room. And the boys, they're fighting over me. I think this one is very David Lim.
This is so very me. Yeah, I was obsessed with this upon arrival. That's hot.
That's hot. You're like getting sweaty in the R&B room at Heaven and you are absolutely going for it, you know? You wanna go abroad, you gon' need a black card and welcome to Paris. Boys, fighting over me. All the boys on the silly boys, they wanna fight over me. Every time I turn around, the boys fight.
But I also think it was like quite cool that the only feature on the album is these two big rappers, Fat Joe and Jada Kiss. Like, these are people that would collab with J-Lo. So it had like a level of gravitas to it.
And it's such like a perfect like next step into the album. Like, this album is a complete piece and a journey. And now we are Paris. She doesn't do Brasserie Zadel, but there is a touch of it there purely because it's J.R. That's right, it is I Want You, the track that features the track Grease. That means we have a Barry Gibb credit on this album. And my question is, where was Paris on Grease Mania?
Can you imagine that crossover moment, that UK promo?
And what, they could have hired Paris to host it and then she could have done a song, you know? Excuse me, I think I've seen you on the dance floor. Excuse me, I think they're playing.
This is one of my favorite album tracks. It's produced by J.R. Rotem, who did Rihanna's SOS, and is co-written by Kara DioGuardi. And I think this is pure disco pop brilliance in the way that, like, you know, Kylie's Light Years album and S Club 7's Don't Stop Moving didn't really touch America, but I felt like Paris was bringing that Y2K disco revival to the States. Like, I think international markets, UK, would listen to this track and go, okay, we know what this is about. We are right on this one.
Do you think it needs the sample of Grease?
Yes.
Oh, you yes. do?
That totally elevates it to another level. Like, it was just, it brought us in kind of like retro richness to it, because without this song on the album, I think it could feel quite two-dimensional, whereas this brought a little more flavor to it.
See, I just think the song is so strong, it doesn't need the sample potentially, but it's such a flex to be like, yeah, this is the sample I've got on my album.
Yeah. I mean, it's very like when Atomic Kitten did Be With You and they had that ELO sample. Like, it's just signature. Like, there are certain melodies in music that you just, that makes you pay attention. And I think Grease has that. I would have loved to have seen a roller disco music video for this. You know, very like when Jessica Simpson did A Public Affair. Skates, neon lights, lollipops, hot pants.
Thank God, though, because David, your high school uni blog and newsletter would all be about Paris v Jessica. We've not only got the two songs, we've now got the two music videos, and I would have been across the world. I would have got a sense for it, and I just would have been uneasy about it.
I can tell you're feeling uncomfortable with the way this conversation's going. You're like, like, we're not slighting anyone. Otherwise, I'm ending this Zoom call.
So, David, let's move on to Jealousy, Jealousy, Jealousy. It's such an evil thing. Now, we have a personal banger here. It is co-written by Paris, Scott Storch and Kara DioGuardi, the dream team and collab of this album. This is allegedly written about her fallout with Nicole Richie at the time, and it was used in The Simple Life. You were my best friend. I thought we'd be together till the end. You're not the girl I once knew. Tell me where she is, but she's not you. You used to be that shoulder. Yeah, it's really interesting because this song got so much press attention when this album came out. And Nicole worked at her end as well. She wrote the sizzling, sensational bestseller, The Factual Fictional Truth About Diamonds. Nicole said, if you want to know what's really happened with me in Paris, you can read all about it in my brand new fictional book, The Truth About Diamonds, a novel, a novel, a novel, a novel, as the book will tell you, which has got me through some tough times in this tricky situation we've all been living in for the last few years. It's like very meta. And you're like, whoa, but it is a brilliant read, everyone out there.
And a great way to avoid a lawsuit.
Exactly. Thank God they made up and all is right with the world. Oh, so David, let's get a bit of an 80s feel and groove moving on to the next track. We have Heartbeat.
Now, this is one of my favorites on the album. A real ethereal 80s pop ballad here. It's Paris Hilton giving time after time.
And within reason, David, because this is written, co-written by Billy Steinberg, who has written on some 80s classics, True Colours by Cyndi Lauper, Eternal Flame by Atomic Kitten and the Bangles, Like a Virgin by Madonna. This song makes me ready for the Romy and Michelle prom.
Again, in the same way that Stars Are Blind was very uncomplicated, I feel like this song is giving that, you know. Sometimes simplicity is key and you don't need all that production or like crazy vocal tricks to just carry a good tune. And this has a beautiful mood and a beautiful tune.
Absolutely. And you know what else is beautiful, David? The music video for it that she released last year.
So what, 15 years after the album came out, she released a music video for it. I love it.
I
absolutely love it. And also she said on that YouTube video blurb, "Thanks to my love, the lyrics finally have meaning. I am complete," which I thought was very sweet.
Gorgeous. That's so, so sweet. It's sliving and...
Hashtag sliving, yes.
I really hope that with Paris Album 2, which she has teased and she says she's working on, I hope we get this level of production. On this album as a whole is just the best I think we've heard Paris Hilton sound. You know, we don't need to lean into obvious auto-tune. It's such great production that they've really used and worked with her and made her sound the best she can sound. And it's just such a lovely sound and voice to listen to.
Yeah, I actually really like Paris's voice. There is, yes, a slight nasally quality to it, but I really like the kind of, the tone is beautiful, I think. And especially on a song like this, it just really sells it.
And then Davo, we've got the song that started it all, the pop rock single that never was, Screwed. So, David, although I do prefer the original leaked demo and I wish that was out there in high quality, this is still an undeniable banger. And whilst I would have loved a 2004 pop rock Paris album, she was so right to move on, because by 2006, if she'd gone with that, it would have sounded so dated. And instead of doing something dated and following the trend, she really went with something that was a bit ahead of its time.
I think it's nice to have the kind of pop rocky moments on the album. They're not like Kelly Clarkson in your face, really loud stuff, but it had a bit more of another angle that you can present to radios or you can present to different markets. You know, I feel like this is such a great commercial album. There's so many different angles there. There's stuff for like clubs. There's like stuff for R&B clubs and hip hop radio, perhaps.
It's a very well-balanced album, much like a well-balanced diet.
Which I know nothing about.
Me either. Allegedly, this song did have to change due to legalities and it being leaked. And maybe Hayley was like, well, look, if you're going to release it, you've got to make it sound different, okay? And I've been visualizing the music video ever since that day. It's a performance number. It goes off. We've got this guy. He's cheating on Paris, who is also played by Paris. And then we've got all her friends who wow. are also played by Paris. And she's spying on this guy. They're setting it up. It's hijinks. It's all of it.
I love a multi-character thing. Very J-Lo when she does, like, Get Right.
Exactly.
Oh, I love it. Love it.
Now, David, we are nearing the end of the album. And as I was saying, I think this album takes you through the club and the journey. And this song is perfect for we're leaving the club soon-ish. With not leaving with
get that. One more drink.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, one more. And this track is Not Leaving Without You. If this album had had a full tour, this is the song that would have gone off. And maybe it's a bit more live XOYO than Royal Albert Hall.
Could be a really good Vegas show. Oh. Can you imagine Paris Hilton for the album's anniversary? She does like a Vegas residency for this album. Imagine the production, the dances, the props, the staging.
Now, what would you call this residency?
Turn It Up. That's a great name. Yeah,
Paris Hilton, Turn It Up. Oh,
the Vegas residency. There you go. Come on, MGM Theatres. We are available. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll
do it.
We'll be some extras on stage if she needs us. And I feel like there will be a set where she's on a bed. Slumber party vibes.
You got slumber party. You got like the big production with the Grease sample earlier on. You've got the club. Like there's just so much that could go on and happen. Now, David, this track, Turn You On. To me, I would say this is the official closing of the album.
She's given us 10 original songs here and she's thrown in a cheeky cover at the end. But God, I love a sexy, sexy R&B dance banger, especially of the early to mid-noughties. You know, this was the time I was in my 20s. I was going out a lot. Nelly Furtado's Promiscuous, Man Eater, Pussycat Dolls, Buttons, and then now I've got Turn You On. Girls and boys are looking at me. I can't blame them because I'm sexy. So keep on watching me. I'll do just what I want. Just because I dance with you. Don't mean you get it so. Don't get excited, baby. And I love that we just did our synchronized chest pumps as well together.
I'm sexy and I know it. I like it. What a banger. This is such an incredible closing. It's like, I'll decide if I want to take you home. Don't blame me because I'm sexy.
Give him something to write about. And it really is kind of a play on the Paris Hilton persona in many ways, isn't it? She's that hot club chick, very untouchable. You think you've got a chance with her, but actually, no, you don't.
So yes, to me, that's the official closing of the album. And then we move on to what I see as a bonus track. I mean, she's not told us it's a bonus track, but I perceive it as a bonus track. It is a cover of Rod Stewart's Do You Think I'm Sexy? Now, I don't think this was needed. Wee Paris was friends with Kimberly Stewart, Rod Stewart's daughter, and she wanted Kim to replace Nicole on The Simple Life once they fell out. Now, thank God that didn't happen. Because all credit to Kimberly Stewart, but they had established this show, and Nicole is like the also equally half of the heart of that show, and it wouldn't have worked without her. But yeah, to me, what did you think of this cover?
This is one of the strengths of Paris Hilton as a celebrity figure, and also with this album, like, it doesn't take itself too seriously. There are moments of like where you feel like there's something personal behind it, and she's saying something. But on the whole, it's a feel good album.
Before we get into chart stats, David, I just want to say I would not have picked the singles for this album that we had.
Oh, really?
Really. JB. Can I tell you what my single run would have been?
Okay. Well, we know you would have started with Turn It Up.
Then we would have had Screwed as the second single. But this is in a world where there's no leaks, no nothing. This is like brand new Screwed. And then we would end it with I Want You and a double A side that is either Jealousy or Heartbeat. Maybe dependent on the territory.
And I would have loved to see, like, Fighting Over Me just get, like, a full remix EP treatment with other rappers on it.
Oh, yeah, that would have been so good.
Like, maybe something with, like, female rappers. It's like, you've got the male version with Jada Kiss and Fat Joe. And then maybe, like, get a Lil' Kim remix with Remy Ma or something. So, you know what? At this time, and this was something I completely forgot about until we started researching for this episode, but during the first week of the album's release, Paris became the target of Banksy when he hijacked 500 copies of her album in 48 different record shops across the UK and replaced them with his own alternate version. He did a reworking of the album with remixes produced by himself and Danger Mouse. They're all satire songs with titles like Why Am I Famous? What Have I Done? What Am I For? I mean, this was a wild time. Like, for you to be so famous and so polarizing as a figure that someone like Banksy would want to do that. There's two ways to look at it, isn't there? Like, you can say, look, it's very, it's rude, it's demoralizing.
But it's also kind of an honor in a way.
Also a little bit of an honor in a way. And I think Paris was actually quite cool about it. You know, she said that I've actually been trying to buy one, you know, I'm trying to wait for another one to become available because they're very limited edition. And a copy of the album was sold at an auction for over £8,700.
Now that is what you should be investing in, kids, not NFTs. So David, this album charted again around the world. Number 24 in Australia on the ARIA charts, very respectable. 4 in Canada, number 8 on the Japanese album charts, number 6 on the Swedish album charts, 7 on the Swiss album charts, 29 here in the UK, and very, very impressive, David, number 6 on the US, That's Hot, Billboard 200. Let's move on to the second/third and final single of the album, Nothing in This World.
Nothing in this world. Now, JB, I believe this was released to US radios in August around the album launch, but the real kind of single treatment came around October, November that year, because I think from memory as well, like in Australia, it was closer to our summer. And I remember thinking, oh, Stars Ablind had done so well. It lived on radios for a bit. It was nice to get another single.
Yeah. So what did you think of the song itself?
I think this is a fantastic track. This was a time where our main pop girls were doing the kind of guitar rock stuff. And I thought it was really cool to show that Paris can sort of compete with those girls.
I do think as well, it's probably, you're right, it's probably the most radio friendly of this album that's very expensive and very, you've got hip hop, R&B, pop, even like disco pop with I Want You. This is probably the most radio friendly for people to absorb at that time.
For me, it will always be the music video that is the standout moment of this era.
So we have this parody of the film, The Girl Next Door. The original star of the film, Alicia Cuthbert, does cameo in this. And she was also Paris's co-star in The House of Wax. So it's good to know that they hopefully had such a good working relationship that she was happy to come along and cameo in this music video. I love that the opening of the video, we have the pink screen. This is rated PH for Paris Hilton.
And yeah, really, in a lot of ways, this feels like a movie trailer kind of music video because it has those flashes of text,
yes,
don't it? Like
it,
you're watching a movie trailer. It has such a cool cinematic feel to it, but also like so classic American high school set pop music video. We're seeing Paris Hilton show off a more comedic side. Lots of the scenes are kind of fantasy scenes where she's, you know, playing a sexy school teacher, or she's in PE gear, but in like gold sparkly hot pants. And I just thought it was really adorable and really like funny.
I always thought like the parodying The Girl Next Door was an interesting choice, but I wonder if she was a fan of the film or she just thought it was an interesting concept.
I thought it was a really brilliant concept because we don't see Paris Hilton as the girl next door, which is what makes it really funny. She's this larger than life celebrity. And then that scene in the video where she pulls up as the new neighbors that moved in next door to that teenage boy. Cute dog.
But what I do love and I thought was very clever is it gives Paris her rite of passage high school music video without her forcing to age herself down. So, David, this single, again, went and charted around the world. In your homeland, Australia, it went in at 32 on the Arias, number 7 in Finland, 34 in Germany, 38 in Ireland, 27 in Scotland. Thank you, Scotland. Number 55 here in the UK and number 12 on the US Dance Club Songs. And not forgetting, number 6 on the Venezuela Pop Rock Chart.
Joel, do you remember this getting any radio love here in the UK?
I remember it getting music video love on like TMF. The Box, they loved it. So yes, it was very TV friendly in that way. T4, the music channels, that sort of thing. So, David, let's leave one pop cultural icon for the minute, or for this episode, and let's move on to our co-headliner today.
Super excited to be doing this double billing with not just Paris Hilton, but we're doing it with Lindsay Lohan. We have to absolutely celebrate this queen. Lindsay's foray into music had actually been teased as early as 2001. 3 years before Speak, her debut album, even came about. Back in September 2002, JB, I thought this was quite interesting, Lindsay signed a 5-album production deal with Emilio Estefan Jr. and Gloria Estefan. I would love to have known what kind of music that would have been like.
So I was thinking about this. I think, especially in 2002... And Lindsay hadn't even done Freaky Friday yet, so she was the girl from The Parent Trap. She had starred in Life Size and Get a Clue on the Disney Channel. I think it would have been Radio Disney Ready Pop, because she would have been still very young as well, you know, in like young mid-teen. I think it would have been up-tempo fun Radio Disney Pop.
I mean, she's still only 18 when her first album came out, but I think it was good to wait a few years, you know, and just to kind of get a sense of her identity and, yeah, see what we can do with that. So apparently Lindsay recorded a couple of demos in this era, but nothing has materialized as far as I can tell. And the deal was cancelled after 2 years.
And then she was off shopping around with the other labels, met with Jive and some other record labels.
Universal, Bad Boy Records as well, P. Diddy's label. But she would end up settling with Casablanca Records, which was at this time being revived under Tommy Mottola's management. So I think it was a smart move.
Do you think our girl, Lindsay D. Lohan, one day got a call and went, Lindsay, it's Tommy, Tommy Mottola. Why don't you join the family? We'll have you, we'll have J-Lo. It'll be great.
I love your Tommy Mottola always starts with a drag of the cigar, like, Lindsay.
And the first one didn't work, so you do have to start with the drag of the cigar.
The drag of the cigar is what snaps you into Tommy's character. And I love it. You're so method. It's fantastic. But JB, you know what? I feel like waiting a few years, getting to where she is now with Casablanca Records, and you mentioned doing Freaky Friday. I actually feel like Freaky Friday was quite seminal in Lindsay's journey of discovering who she would be as a recording artist, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. So to many, yes, it might have been slightly jarring in a way that in 2005, film star Lindsay Lohan starts releasing music. But if you were a Disney and a teen pop super fan, like so many of us were, it wasn't unexpected, you know. So in Freaky Friday, we get our first taste of main pop girl Lindsay with the absolute Disney rock banger Ultimate from Freaky Friday. You're it. You're the ultimate banger. Absolute banger. And then just before Mean Girls, she followed up Freaky Friday with another Disney flick, Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen. Now, this had some fantastic Lindsay tracks in it, including What Are You Waiting For?, which, David, I feel like you'll know because it was covered by Bardot's Tiffany, and then the ultimate animated girlies, the Bratz Dolls.
I actually didn't know Lindsay recorded a version of that song, so wow.
I nearly spat out my drink, David.
And also she had a song called Drama Queen, that girl, on that soundtrack.
Now,
right?
This is from within the film. There is a school production of a modern retelling of Pygmalion titled Liza Rocks. And, you know, the film is called Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen, so it kind of marries it all together. And this is a huge pop girl moment from Lindsay. It had young gay boys like me, like, anticipating the Lindsay Lohan debut. And then last but not least, on the Disney Records family, we had I Decide, which is a Diane Warren written track for The Princess Diaries 2, sung by our girl Lindsay. So we're also seeing her pop up on soundtracks where she's not even in the film. So she, if you were in the know, you were expecting Ready and Waiting for this from Lindsay.
That's quite a clever, low-pressure way to kind of feel your way around different styles of music, different genres, and sort of seeing what works for you while you figure it out.
David Lim, if you want to work for the mouse, you got to get in the recording studio as well as being an actor. Lindsay! We're going to get you in the studio. You want to do a three-picture deal? You got to get in the studio.
Mickey Mouse is now a chain-smoking mogul. I love it. We are destroying your childhood as we go along, everyone. You're welcome.
I'm going for lunch with Tommy Mottola. We're going to make you a big star. So all of that, the seeds were sown. And so 2004 or five?
So in April 2004 was where Lindsay actually started writing for her debut album. And it was around this time where she started saying that, look, it's going to be a mix of rock with hip hop, you know, elements of music that she enjoys.
So before we get into a signature rocky album, let's kick off with the debut single from Lindsay D. Lohan, Rumours. I I would say, David, this is arguably the best song we will talk about today.
This is a song about stalkerazzi, modern celebrity culture, Lindsay not having her privacy. She just wants to be herself. I just want to be me. It's what Lindsay was saying on the track. We should have gotten the GC feature or the cover.
Should we? Should we?
Can you imagine her ringing her manager? Listen, honey, I found me debut single.
I can really relate to the lyrics.
I'm just tired of the rumors starting, yeah?
Right.
I was obsessed with this song on arrival, JB. Like, it felt like in Australia, we completely embraced this. This was on the radios. It was on all the music video channels. We couldn't get enough of this.
Wasn't even a single here in the UK, David.
I know, I was about to ask you.
Can you believe it?
I feel like whenever I bring up rumors, like some gays would know it and then other people would look at me blankly.
It's a cult classic. It's made its way to the UK as a gay cult classic. But yeah, not everyone's in the know. I feel like there'll be a lot of people, maybe not the people that listen to this podcast, but in the greater world, I think there'll be people surprised to know that Lindsay Lohan has a fantastic music career. So this song was originally called Just What It Is, and it is written and produced by Carl Rooney, who has worked with Jessica, Mandy, Destiny's Child, and Miranda, and Mariah. And there's additional writing by Lindsay and two-thirds of 3T, Tito Jackson's sons. You feel a certain way looking back because she's alluding to the constant paparazzi and media backlash, but you know looking back that it unfortunately gets a bit worse from here.
Yeah, exactly. This was the tip of the iceberg, and I think it's just really unfortunate that a lot of her family stuff was like played out in the press as well at this time. Those things contributed to her getting even more media interest, but there comes a point where it is very stifling and very suffocating. And we'd like to think that in present day, we're a little bit better with respecting celebrity boundaries and mental health, or people are better at drawing boundaries between their public personas and their private selves.
Absolutely. And I just hope as a public, we only want what's best for these people and we want them to thrive and do well. And I think it's pretty clear that we are on the cusp of the low renaissance, and I cannot wait for it. She's back stronger than ever with her two-picture Netflix deal, and there are many more things in the works, and we'll hopefully get that third album. But let's go back to this gorgeous, sexy music video directed by Jake Narva, who's given us VB's Out of Your Mind and Not Such an Innocent Girl, Mystique's One Night Stand and Scandalous, Spice Girls Holler, also worked with Britney on My Prerogative, and Beyonce's Single Ladies. That is the caliber of music video we get here, and boy, does it deliver. So we've got Lindsay in a nightclub playing around with the paparazzi, the signature birdcage.
We love that symbolism. We see that a lot in these types of pop videos. We saw it with Miley when she was doing Can't Be Tamed.
And David, my favorite part of the whole music video is the rooftop dance breakdown with the helicopters flying overhead.
I really like the fact that this music video had a real action film quality to it. You know, it's got that kind of blue lighting that's really like cold and very like futuristic at the same time. Everything was just very heightened in a sense, isn't it? It's really building from the theme of what Rumours is about. You've got the helicopter aerial view. You've got the paparazzi crowding around her cars. You've got even like the CCTV from the lifts zooming in on Lindsay. Like, you just feel this kind of like action movie.
Great way to launch a big film star as
a pop star as well.
As a big pop star,
I think what was missing is that we needed like an action scene almost. I don't know how you would write it in. Like maybe she's
like, maybe a fight scene on the rooftop and then that goes into the dance break.
Yeah.
And a bit of like script, like a very short bit of scripted narrative at the very beginning just to sort of set it up. And then it's like, have you seen the music video version or have you seen the mini film version? You know, really help push it.
And you know that love interest that she has in the club, am I imagining this or was he like wearing a mic and was he wired?
Oh, I didn't see that, but that makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, imagine if that was a narrative, like she's making out with this guy who she thinks is a stranger she met in a club, but is an undercover showbiz journalist and she exposes him, you know, he's wearing a wire and it's all like, oh, it's all kicking off, mate.
Who can you trust? So this hit number one on MTV's TRL and was nominated for Best Pop Video at 2005's MTV Video Music Awards, which is pretty fan-bloody-tastic, David. But this song did fantastic in your homeland. It was a top 10 smash hit on the ARIAs, number 6 on the US Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles, and 23 on the US Mainstream Top 40 singles, gold in Australia and gold in America. She performed it live on Good Morning America. There was a little bit of slight controversy is around it of, was she lip syncing? Yes, but she missed a few words. Doesn't really matter. She continued, she ploughed through.
I thought what was really interesting about that performance, apart from the kind of lip sync stuff that people love to focus on, was the fact that she had a full on rock band on stage with her. This is not a song that needs three guitarists and three background singers, but we have it.
I think you'll find it does. It absolutely does. More is more, David. More is more. Shall we move to 2004 and speak about Lindsay's debut album, Speak?
So yes, December 2004 was when the debut album by Lindsay Lohan dropped. Here in the UK, though, it was released in April the following year, but...
I know, 4 days before my birthday and I didn't get it.
Oh my God!
Seems like it would have been the perfect birthday gift for me in 2005.
Even now, yeah.
Even, well, I've got it on vinyl now.
You've got, so I was going to say, fine. I feel like you do have this on vinyl, so yeah.
I do. So both of the albums on this episode... Again, I took my notes for this album as I was listening to the vinyl, and that is the only way to do it. So we have got Lindsay working heavily with Cara Diaguardi on this album. We've spoken about her on the Paris album, but she was booked and busy with all these pop rock girls. You know, Kelly, Hillary, she had to be there. I mean, she must have made a lot of money from this era.
What I found interesting was that Dark Child was also involved in some sessions. They did a song called Extraordinary, which didn't make the album. I don't know if that's ever leaked.
It's not. I've looked. So Lindsay did record a lot of this album while she was shooting Herbie Fully Loaded in her dressing room on set. So even before we get into the album, I saw the EPK. She's promoting the album, and I know she's a huge film star, but it included so many clips of her movies in it, and also mentioned like the box office for each film. The music should be the front and center narrative. And I don't think you'd get it from the other people. Like, I don't think you'd get it on a J-Lo EPK or a Hilary Duff EPK.
Ultimately, you're selling J-Lo. You're selling Lindsay Lohan here. And part of the package is film and music. So that is part of their star power. But I think... for someone like them, when they're already that type of entertainer that has a big film back catalogue as well, music is always going to be part two.
The true PR perspective there on this podcast. Thank you, David. But I do find very interesting that in the EPK, she has to address a lot of personal stuff. And I just think no one should have to go through Paps scrutiny and rumors about how someone looks, whether they're aged 18 or not, whether they're famous or not. No one should have to be going through that. Just the sheer pressure that these people are under is absolutely disgraceful.
Such a snapshot of Lindsay's star power at this time. I also feel like you can't do a song called Rumors without talking about the Paps. And it can, I've seen a few interviews of hers, and she almost seems a bit apologetic about it. Like, she's kind of like, I don't want to like make it come across like I'm complaining, because I'm living my dream. Everything I've worked for was to get to this point.
I know, but she does do it in a very graceful way. Very respectable and very, yeah, very thankful for where she is.
What I wish was that the media and the people interviewing her at this time had put in more of an empathetic voice, because she's only 18 years old and dealing with a lot of media scrutiny and attention and focus on her family life. I just wish there was more people would have been louder about giving her a break.
Yeah. So on that note, shall we jump into the album, David? We'll go in with track 2, Nobody Till You. We've got this John Shanks and Cara Diaguardi co-write, co-produced. As you said, they're all over this album. They absolutely ate in this moment in time. Now, this is a pop rock banger, David, and I think it should have been a single over, if I'm completely honest.
Oh, really? And I know you really like Over. Wow. Till you, I was nothing.
remember lonely nights. There was nothing but sad goodbyes for me to fall through. Come true.
I think this is a wonderfully done arena-sized teen rock song. It's so sentimental on one hand, but also like with such a punky rock delivery as well. Like
potentially was going to be a third single on the album's hype sticker. This song is mentioned on there.
Oh, really?
Both this and the following track. Yeah, so very interesting. Even still on the vinyl I have, it says on it like including like Nobody Till You, so... We love to see it. They knew it was going to be a fan favorite. So the other potential third single we have is the next track, Symptoms of You. Now, I think this is still a fab, solid pop rock song. I don't think it's as strong as the previous one and probably was right to not be a single.
The one thing I will say about Speak is there are some very enjoyable tracks on here, but it does feel rather same notey when you listen to it from start to finish. So I wish we had gotten more diversity in the way that Paris's album had different angles working in there. Maybe let's take away four of those songs and let's work with other producers and see what we can bring into the mix. You look like you're disagreeing.
You come to me, you criticize Lindsay's album. We gotta deliver pop rock. You want light and shade? You come to me and you want light and shade? Other producers, do you know how much money Tommy Mottola has spent on this?
I don't know if I'm having a fight now with Mickey Mouse or Tommy Mottola, but I'm scared.
It was Tommy. Get your lawyers on the phone. No, I completely, on one hand, I completely agree, David, but then on the other hand... These pop rock albums, which, you know, I know and love so well, do they find what they do and just keep on giving it to you for like 12 plus tracks?
Yes, they do.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? So, David, let's move on to the titular track of the album, also potentially third single, Speak.
This is my favorite Lindsay album track. I think Speak has so much potential. I absolutely love that 80s new wave sound. You know, it's a touch of Blondie in there. I think it was a really fresh take. And also, like, at this time in 2004, I believe, like, Gwen Stefani's album was coming out around this time as well. So we were getting a real kind of 80s revival in some ways, like the cooler part of the 80s, you know. Would have loved to have a little more of that 80s new wave flavor on this album, but very grateful to have Speak.
So this was going to be potentially a single. Remixes were commissioned.
Oh, really?
For Speak, including Scumfrog, Hex Hector, and Mac Quayle. And, you know, they stated that the remixes were made, but the single was indefinitely put on hold. And they were hoping that the remixes would eventually see the light of day as bonus tracks on other singles, but that didn't happen.
Papa's O'Clock Lindsay was coming with Speak. Even though Lindsay got quite a limited release in the UK, Speak and those remixes I feel would have done quite cool here. Let's get that GAY performance.
And actually, that would be a perfect way, as, you know, later on, she's become a little bit of a club darling, especially with some very later tracks. So this would be a perfect way to sort of circle it back to the first album with a more current Lindsay, like, especially for an anniversary or something. Now, David, I know you were saying this album hits one note, but we're going to hit a bit of another note here to Know Your Name. To me, this sounds like, is it Xenomania, Richard X, Rachel, Goldfrapp? I was wondering if it's potentially a track left over from earlier on in the album when it was following that more Rumours sound.
It doesn't really go far enough for me. I would have loved them to really, like, give it more of a pop sheen. But, yeah, it blends in quite well with the rest of the album.
And then we have Very Last Moment in Time. Now, to me, this is a signature Disney pop rock girl soundtrack worthy moment. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It's grade A. It very much reminds me of Live Like There's No Tomorrow from the second Selena Gomez and the Scene album. So we love to see it.
I think, like, the good thing about Speak is that it is so tailor-made for the demographic that Lindsay's trying to appeal to. There's a lot of sentimental lyrics here. We're getting angst. We're getting lots of feelings and emotions. When you're 18, you're sort of at that age where, like, there's still a lot of feelings to process and maybe you don't have the right tools to process it yet. But also, like, we're looking at someone on the other side of it that's a huge superstar, you know, someone that's coming into her own, but someone who actually already, like, in a lot of ways knows who she is and is, like, making waves.
Just before the album closes out on the international and vinyl editions of the album, we have Magnet, which is another futuristic pop rock electro bop. So it is kind of right at the tail end. She is giving us a tiny bit of light and shade.
Again, this is another one of my favorites on the album. You can tell the ones I'm drawn to are the more 80s sounding, the more bubblegum new wave bops. Is it gravity, chemistry, physically pulling me? As a pop performer as well, Lindsay could really come alive doing this song because melodically it's much more playful, I think, than a lot of the songs on this album.
So, David, interestingly, Lindsay was rumoured to do a tour.
That's that pun.
The rumoured tour of Taiwan, because the album did very well there and went gold.
It was gold over there, and one of the singles that we're about to talk about was a top 10 hit over there. We know what it's like in reality. Lindsay's on to the next thing. She's got another film to make, another film to promote, another thing to do. You know, her second album will come out exactly a year to date from this album. So it was a constant hamster wheel ride for Lindsay at this time.
Absolutely. So around the world, this album charted at 57 in Australia, 36 in Austria, number 9 on the Canadian album charts, 53 in Germany, and very, very, very impressively, David, although it didn't show up in single positions, it shows what a huge star she was and kids and parents rushing out to buy this album, number 4 smash hit on the US Billboard 200, platinum in America, David.
Selling over 261,000 copies in its first week, and it's reportedly sold over 1.1 million copies alone in the United States now. So, you know, I'm sure Tommy was happy about that.
But yeah, I mean, would have been fab to have seen that Taiwan tour. It's never too late, but now it can be a global tour, Linz. So December of that year, David, 2004, Lindsay releases her second single from the album, Over. And what is absolutely wild is that it was her debut single here in the UK. My tears are turning into time. I've wasted trying to find a reason.
In December 2004 was when it went to US radios, but the rest of the world, including here in the UK, we got it a few months later in 2005, and I was so surprised that this is her only single here.
Not in my hearts and my charts, but in the United Kingdom charts.
Yes, in the Royal Kingdom here. Now, do you remember this getting a push or getting special attention?
I remember seeing it once on CD UK. They would show clips of music videos on CD UK as well. And I remember, like, because you could call in and vote, I think.
And you called in and voted.
Mum, sorry about the phone bill.
Gotta make sure Lindsay gets a CD UK.
Lindsay needs that push, mum. You understand, Wins. Come on. It's an investment. So, yeah, it had a bit of a push here in the UK, from my recollection anyway. But the song is about Lindsay's on-again, off-again relationship with her then-boyfriend, Wilmer Valderrama. I don't really know how, looking back, that boy got around with so many girls, but hey-ho, he must have... Maybe he was like the Pete Davidson of the
2000s. He was the Pete Davidson of that time.
So she recorded this song, David, the day after her and Wilmer Valderrama broke up, and she said she was even recording it in his house because they were still living together at the time. So she was singing it loud and throwing, you know, like shoving his face in it, like,
don't tell me that it's over. I was just like, Linz.
So we have Jake Narva back again directing this music video. It is edgy, rocky, emotional pop girl. It's also showing a more serious, quote unquote, side of Lindsay and her music career. And apparently this music video was inspired by American Beauty, but I'm not sure about that personally.
The thing I found really interesting about this video as well is that the character she plays, her father, the character father in this music video, was like quite an abusive man, and he was like having a go at her love interest. So again, that is very much a choice. You know, we're seeing the narrative in real life of Lindsay and her father being played out in the press, but then we're also seeing that mirrored here in art as well. So, you know, sometimes I find that those moments clever, but also like for someone like Lindsay, I wonder how it must feel like to feel trapped within that narrative.
So her love interest, David, is Drew Fuller, who was very famous for being in Charmed at the time. And oof, David Lim, let me tell you, I had such a crush on this guy. Those WB boys just had us by the neck in the 2000s.
The JB's awakening after Lee Latchford Evans.
After Lee. Well, I was awoken by this point. I was rampant.
He was searching, looking for boys.
On the WB.
Shout out to Hazel Dean, who did not think she would get a cameo on the Lindsay and Paris Hilton episode. Yeah. But that is the enduring influence of Auntie Hazel.
Thank you, Auntie Hazel.
And the Young Divas.
And the Young Divas, obviously. So this all is interwoven with Lindsay doing a signature girl in her garage performing with her band, An Artiste. So we had another successful number one TRL hit for Lindsay with this track. So, you know, look, the album did very well and the music video is getting out there to the people, and that is where it matters. Performance wise we have another live vocal from sessions at AOL. She performed it on Good Morning America the same day as the Rumors performance, and she also performed it on Ellen again with a live vocal.
Get it, Linz.
In terms of around the world, this was a number 27 hit on the ARIA charts in Australia, 19 in Ireland. Thank you, Ireland.
Wow, yes, Ireland.
27 here in the UK, number one on the US Bubbling Under Hot 100 singles. So almost.
She was one position away from actually having a Hot 100 charting single.
And it also hit number 39 on the US mainstream top 40. I think we need to fast forward to May 2005, although it's called First, the third and final single of the album. So, David, Lindsay is out promoting Herbie Fully Loaded, and this is the track that the director thought would be a perfect pairing with the film, which makes a lot of sense. Now, David, to me, this song is an absolute banger, and what a way to open the album, and I'm so glad it ended up being a single.
I wanna come first. Hey! I wanna be like every other girl in the world. Like every other one who wants you at night. See if something inside me burns, and then I realize I wanna come first.
Like, this song just grabs you by the balls, doesn't it? Like, it's just so full of attitude. It's really bossy. And I remember, if I'm correct in my memory, in the Cameron Adams review in the Herald Sun, he's even made a reference to the cheeky wink in the lyric, I want to come first. I want to come first.
Yes, I was going to ask, do you think there is more to it in terms of, is it meant to be a bit of a double entendre or even triple now we're talking about racing cars?
A multi-dimensional work of art.
And I just want to say, we should all come first and accept nothing less.
Yes, in any way you want to take that. We are a rated E for explicit podcast, but also E for entertaining and E for exciting. So, JB, I found it very interesting that the Herbie Fully Loaded soundtrack at one point was going to feature Girls Aloud's Long Hot Summer.
Yes.
It was planned to be included, but it was cut from the film. Fucking Tommy Mottola. I bet it was him.
Or the mouse.
Yeah. It was fucking one of yours.
It was fucking one of yours.
Disgusting.
I mean, it was probably Mickey because he decided against Freak Me Out for Freaky Friday as
How
well.
How dare
so,
you, Mickey.
Come on.
We're falling out now.
That's it.
It's all over for me. Alexa, play Lindsay Lohan over.
So we have this music video, David, and Lindsay is now a bleach blonde.
Oh my God, obsessed. I love this look on her. And can we talk about the Jerry Horner all white ensemble? You
all
know,
white ensemble.
I love it. You know I love a Baker Boy hat, especially in this kind of 2000s era. The girlies loved a cool, cute hat.
Very. She's got Jake Narva back to direct these music videos. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We have Lindsay dancing and singing around the Volkswagen Beetle that is Herbie. This song is a million times better than the film. Like, this is a grade A song. And I stan Lindsay as an actress. And I think this is her worst Disney film, potentially worst film. I would much rather, and David, this might not mean much to you, but our listeners at home, I would much rather watch I Know Who Killed Me. I would much rather watch The Canyons than rewatch Herbie Fully Loaded, because it just missed the magic of the other Disney films that she had. It was no Confessions. It was no Freaky Friday. It was no Parent Trap.
It just felt like a lot of fuss was made around this film to get this song as the feature soundtrack single. It's like, Lindsay, did you need to be doing that much for this film?
But it's still not, it's played as the second song in the credits. It's not even opening or closing the film.
First needs to come first in the credits.
Yeah.
It says so in the song. Hello.
But there is one notable performance for this track. Lindsay did a medley of Speak and First at Kiss FM's Wango Tango. It's a sunny day. It's an outdoor concert. She's got a bleach blonde hair. She is rocking it and loving it. She's got the sunnies on. Yeah, so while she's not going to be everywhere, she'll do Good Morning America. She'll do Ellen, Wango Tango. But yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get, you know, Lindsay on the rain. But hopefully we'll get that with the next album.
Now, Lindsay, do you remember all your movies?
No, I wanted to ask you about that lyric. I want to come first.
I think we should all come first, Lindsay, don't you?
Why'd you like to come first? Why is it so important to you?
And on that note, David, this did have some signature chart positions around the world. It hit number 31 on the ARIA charts in Australia. So thank you very much, David.
Three top 40 singles from one album. It's not bad. And Rumours was a top 10 hit in Australia. So I feel like we showed up for our girl, Linz.
In Germany, it peaked at 74 and Switzerland 41. But a fabulous way to venture out. It's really a soundtrack single. So, you know, it did what it needed to do and it gave everything the push that it needed. So, David, I have loved this journey with these pop culture icons of the 2000s. It is very interesting to look at two journeys here. We have Paris, who was very much one of the first of the 2000s famous for being famous and ended up doing films, music and everything under the sun. And then we have Lindsay, who is very much a grafting, starting off as a child star performer and also did films and music. And it's these two different journeys that actually have a lot of
parallels,
synchronicity,
yeah,
and parallels. And then obviously like Nightclub Darlings.
Which is why we decided to pair them together on this episode. Because, you know, we're all about synchronizing and synergy.
And loving it. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to record this live from Club Loan in Mykonos or Ibiza, but that would have been lovely.
I would love to be there right now.
Listeners, we'd love to know what your favourite songs of these albums were. You have been listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. Do hit that subscribe button and leave us a lovely 5-star review. You can follow me at Dr_JoelB, and you can follow him at
@LovelyMe.
Until next time, keep turning it up, guys. Bye.